It's a lie from the pit of hell. A lie that is authored by Satan. A lie that is echoed by his false prophets. It's referred to by some as the trapdoor or the escape hatch from hell. A way out for those who do not trust in Jesus Christ. Heaven can be gained by other means. The trapdoor, as it's called. Well, it's not a trapdoor, it's a trap. And it's a lie from the pit. And there are many exponents of this lie. I could think of many. I'm thinking of one, the televangelist Phil Schuller, very famous televangelist, who claimed that there are people in heaven who do not know the name of Jesus Christ. He said that these people know that they need something and they turn to the light that they have. And that's a direct quote, and you can quite easily find it. Well, folks, if you ever want to be in heaven, you must know Jesus Christ. I don't say know about him. There are many people in this country who could pass examinations about Jesus Christ. And they can recite facts about Jesus Christ. But they do not know Jesus Christ. And if you ever want to be in heaven, and if you want to escape the damnation of hell, you need to know Jesus Christ in a personal and saving way. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you want to know the way, if you're in Coleraine, rather, and you want to go to Belfast, you must know the way, or you'll not get there. And if you ever want to be in heaven, you must know the way. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a lie from the pit, from the depths of hell, to say that a man or a woman or a boy or girl can ever reach the glories of heaven without knowing Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. The door to God, the door to heaven. And as that little children's chorus would remind us, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. What side are you on? What side are you on? Are you walking on the path that leads to heaven? Are you walking on the path that leads to damnation? There's a very fundamental question that needs to be asked of those who will tell this lie. And it is this, that if you can get to heaven without knowing Christ, why would the Lord Jesus Christ suffer the awful agony that he suffered? Why send the Savior at all if all you need is sincerity? But sincerity never saved a single soul. Only Jesus Christ saves. And tonight we come to a Bible text that addresses this very subject. The subject of how many ways there are to God, and it's very clear that there is but one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And there is no other way, and there is no other trapdoor. There is only one God, and only one mediator, and only one ransom. And that is the simple fact. And I want to take those three statements and just use them as headers. I'm not going to give you alliterated points this evening. But I just want to talk about the only God, and the only mediator, and the only ransom. And we'll keep it simple. Let's first think about the only God. Let's look at verse 5. For there is one God. Now, there are two types of journey that you can go on. There's a purposeful journey, and then there's just going out for a drive. If you're going out for a drive, you can head any direction. I went out for a drive this afternoon. Thankfully, it didn't rain. I haven't been at the North Coast in a year because of COVID, so I thought I'd go for a drive and I'll take a little walk somewhere nice. It didn't really matter whether I went north, south, or east or west. I chose to go along the path, drive to the path between Port Rush and Port Stewart and walk along the seaside, but it didn't really matter. I could go either. I could go any of a number of directions. And that's the way that you can go if you're out for a drive. But if you're out for a purposeful journey, if you have somewhere to go and something to do, first you have to select your destination, and then you have to select the appropriate and sometimes the only route. Now, Paul does that for us in verse 5. Paul selects the destination, and then he talks about the route. So in verse 5, he talks about the only God. There's a destination. The only God. Our destination should be God. In life, in death, and in eternity. And can I say this? If you're not planning to get to God, then you're going in the wrong direction and you're heading on the wrong road and there's ruin ahead. Because every man, every woman, and every child needs the Lord. And that is by far the greatest need of our society to get back to God. The greatest need of our society is not to get over COVID. And I hope we do, and I hope we do fast. But that's not the greatest need of our society. The greatest need of the United Kingdom is to get back to God. I think of that wonderful hymn, "People Need the Lord. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where." And you know it's true. You know it's true, for you've seen them too. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. Because people need the Lord. I don't think I could put it better than that hymn. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. I'll tell you, this is a world where wrong seems right, isn't it? This land that we're living in, this United Kingdom, a place where the murder of unborn children is called health care. A place where fornication is called the sexual revolution. A place where adultery is called an affair. A place where lies are called little white. There's nothing little about them and there's nothing white. We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. We live in a world where right is called wrong. Where wickedness is called righteousness. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Because people need the Lord. And our land needs the Lord as a nation. Yes, because people are broken and families are broken and society is broken. And I tell you that on the authority of God's word, that brokenness comes from rejecting God. There's a little verse, a little clause over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 13, verse 15, where it says, "The way of transgressors is hard." And so it is. And the hardness and the difficulty that we see in our society is because of transgression. And it's because of transgression not dealt with. You know what the word transgression means? The way of transgressors is hard. You know what transgression means? It means to go over the line. You're driving down the road and you go over the line. I assure you will have a hard time ahead. As you meet the front of an oncoming vehicle, it's going to be hard. And folks, when you cross God's line, when you cross the line of God's law and sin, a crash is coming. And it's going to be a hard road ahead. And our society has crossed the line. It's burnt right over the line. We've rejected the Lord and we've rejected His Son. And we're paying the price with the breakdown of our nation. And it's about time this nation turned the steering wheel and guided the vehicle back towards the Lord. Yeah. It's all right talking about the nation. We can all nod our heads when we talk about the nation. But what about you as an individual?
You see, folks, you need the Lord for life. And you need the Lord for eternity. And Paul talks about the destination. The destination is God, the only God, the true God. And I want to tell you, if your destination is not God and life, it will be hell and eternity. It will be the lake of fire where the worm dieth not. And God doesn't show himself in many different ways. And God doesn't reveal himself under many different names. God is not Jehovah to the Jew and to the Christian, and Allah in Arabia, and Krishna in India, and Marduk in ancient Babylon. God does not show himself in many different ways. God manifests himself in one way. And he is Jehovah. He's the living God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of creation. He's the God of the Christian Bible. He's the God of Calvary. And that's a common mistake in our society, that there are many manifestations of God. That every faith is equally viable and every faith is equally valuable, and it's nonsense. Nonsense. And if you come to insincerity to your God, you'll be okay for eternity. No, you're not. Paul says it very clearly here, for there is one God. One God. Categorically. Did you know that Paul was destined? Well, many think that Paul was destined for the high priesthood. In those days, of course, the office of the high priest was purchased. If you had enough money and enough political clout, well, you could work your way into it. Many people believe that Paul was destined for that high office, the highest religious post in all of Israel. He certainly had the brains. He was moving in the right circles, because he was already moving in the circles of the high priest. Remember, he received letters from the high priest. And yet he gave it all up to be a missionary. He gave it all up to trek across Europe and ultimately to die so that pagans could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And why on earth would Paul do that if a pagan could get to heaven simply by his sincerity? By just being sincere about their own gods. We're talking to young Timothy here in 1 Timothy. Why would Paul bother sending Timothy to Ephesus? Why would Paul bother sending him to that great sin city to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very difficult post if the Ephesians could get to heaven just by being sincere about worshiping the goddess Diana? No. No, folks, there's only one true God. The God Jehovah. And he better be your destination in life. And if he's your destination in life, then he'll be your destination in eternity. The only God. And then Paul talks about the only mediator. Let's look back at what it says here. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I was doing outreach in South Wales in 2005 when I was in Whitfield College and the Raderan Church. I came to an area with some very, very large and impressive houses. And outside each very large and impressive house was a large and impressive car. And the houses were lovely. They were covered in ivy. They had huge wooden heavy doors that looked like it would take about three men to open. And the people that came to the doors when we wrapped them, they didn't need to say anything. You just could see in their faces. You could see the look of disdain. The moment you mentioned Christ and the gospel, they looked up upon you as you were just, as if you were dirt. And almost every time I do outreach in a wealthy area, that experience comes to mind, and I wonder, will they respond the same way? Will they show the same disregard to the Savior from the one who left a far grander house than them to come to die for us? I don't care how big your house is. Let me tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ left more glory than you'll ever have to come and be your Savior. You can think about that when you do outreach around affluent areas, but you know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a very encouraging chapter.
Because if you read verses 1 and 2, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Yeah. Paul encourages Timothy to pray for all men, all types of men, kings, right up to the very pinnacle of political power. Because God, as verse 4 tells us, will have all men to be saved. And all types of men surely will be saved. There'll be kings and commoners. There'll be princes and paupers. There'll be rich men and there'll be rogues. Rogues. We can pray for the royal family. Certainly a good time to. When they're very much in our minds. When they're contemplating the things of death. The verities of eternity. You can pray for William and Kate and for Harry and Meghan and Andrew, because God can save kings and God can save the royal family. And never be afraid, by the way, to speak to salvation, to people who consider themselves bigwigs, because God's will is to save all types of people. And that important person who you fear to share the gospel with might just be one of God's elect. And you could be the very person who God will use. But all men, regardless what station they occupy in life, must come through Christ. Because there's only one mediator. Because no one is too high and no one is too mighty for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a salvation for the rich and another salvation for the poor. There's not a savior for the lowly and a savior for the one who lives in luxury. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes. There's not another soul under heaven that can save. Jesus and Jesus only. Maybe you'll turn over to John chapter 3 and verse 18. John 3 and verse 18. John 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, folks, if you're in this meeting this evening and you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not the case that you're going to be condemned. The case is that you're condemned already, because sin is always under the condemnation of God. God is diametrically opposed to all and everything that is sinful. And I'm a sinner, and so are you. And if our sin is not purged away by the precious blood, or by the power of the precious blood of the Son of God, the blood of Christ shed upon Calvary, then God is diametrically opposed to us. And we are already in a state of condemnation. We're not waiting for judgment. It's not a case that we're nervous in case we should be found guilty. No, that's not the case at all. The judge has already passed the judgment. We are guilty. I find you guilty of transgressing the law of God. And every single soul is born under that condemnation. That little baby that comes out of the maternity unit, and everyone stands round, and everyone admires, and everyone congratulates, and rightly so. Yet that little child is a sinner. Doesn't need to be taught to tell a lie. Doesn't need to be taught to take something that isn't his or hers. Doesn't need to be taught to rebel against parents. Born a sinner. And folks, that's why there can be only one mediator. Because he alone is sinless. We spoke about it this morning. He alone is the impeccable one. Just suppose God searched through heaven, couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed just to buy eternal life for you and me. You know, that hymn's wrong. It should say, just suppose God searched through heaven, couldn't find one able to be. There was not one that was able. And I don't care how big you are. And I don't care how important you are in the
in the eyes of this world, the Bible brings all under the condemnation of sin and puts all on the road to a lost eternity and puts all in need of Jesus Christ. And that includes you and that includes me. Talked about examinations this morning. Have you ever failed an examination? Been filled with a disappointment to have failed an examination? Back in 2013, there were students in Liberia, in Africa, who were gearing up for some tests. And they were seeking to enter the University of Liberia, one of two universities in that country. And they nervously set their exams and they were waiting for the results. And when the marks came back, there were tears. Many, many, many tears. Because not one student failed, or two, or 200, or 2,000, or 20,000. But all 25,000 entrants failed. Not one passed, on account of their ability to communicate in the language of the paper. All failed. 100% failure rate. Can't be too many examples of that. But there's one classic example, and it's us. Because every one of us have failed to reach the standard of God. We have all come short of the glory of God. And all that haven't trusted Jesus Christ are condemned. Folks, listen, there's only one God. And there's only one mediator. And there's only one ransom. Let's look back at our text. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I wish to be very clear with you this evening. Paul is very, very clear. Very, very simple. One God, Jehovah, don't be confused. One mediator that can stand between you and God and can bridge the gap. One Des man. And one ransom. And that tells me how I can be saved. You see, Phil Schuller, the evangelist, said that people will be saved without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, under the Holy Spirit, says otherwise. He says we need to be very clear. We need to understand the way of salvation. Salvation comes by a ransom. And that word simply means to pay something in place of a person. It takes us back to the old slave market in the days of Paul, when the slave would be brought in and when they would be put on the stand and sold, and the buyer would come in and he would inspect the slave to see whether the slave was what he needed, what he required, and then he would pay a price and that person would be his. Bought like a commodity, bought like an object. Money given in place of a person. Modern parlance, of course. The word ransom is applied to the situation of a kidnapping, where someone is kidnapped and a ransom is paid to free them, to give them their liberty. But it's the same principle. Money given in place of a person. Price for a person. And for you and me to be freed from sin, a price has to be paid. You see, God, we owed a debt of obedience to God. We owed perfect obedience to this book, to this law, and we've defaulted. We've defaulted by our sin. And there's a penalty for defaulting. And there's a price that needs to be paid. You go to the bank and take out a loan, and you don't pay your loan. You might well incur penalties. You will incur penalties the way the bank works now. But even after you pay those penalties, you still have to pay the capital back. You pay the capital and the penalties. And it's the same with God. We owe him obedience and we have defaulted on what we owed by sinning. And the penalty is death, so the penalty stands. There must be a death where there's a sin. But we still owe the debt of obedience, don't we? The penalty must be paid, but the capital must be paid too, the obedience. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ransom. He paid the ransom.
He made a payment. He took the penalty in his body on the tree. He died. He satisfied the need of the penalty by dying himself in our place, by being crucified, nailed to the cross, pierced in his side, whipped in his back, with that horrible contraption of the crown of thorns upon his head. Oh, he paid the penalty. Ah, but before that he paid the capital with a perfect life. Yes. Do you know what I read in Romans chapter 10? That Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, everything that this law, that the law of this book demanded, Jesus Christ satisfied it right to the end. Fully. He paid the capital. Yeah, he was perfect. Pilate said, I find no fault. Even the very demon, the demons of Legion called him the Holy One. God the Father said that he was his beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, he paid the capital. He paid the obedience that we could not. And then he paid the penalty in his own body in the tree. Yeah. Do you see it? The ransom paid in Christ. One God. One mediator. One ransom. And that's why Paul says in verse 1, first of all, pray. First of all, pray, because there's no other way. Christians need, our people need desperately to hear the Lord, and we as Christians need to pray that sinners will hear of that way. We need to pray for those in authority that they will maintain the liberties that we have in this land so that the gospel can go forth and so that people can hear of the one God and the one mediator and the one ransom. Because if they don't hear, they'll be lost. Tell me, are you saved? Are you saved this evening? Are you on the road to heaven? And if you're not, what is your reason? What do you count worthy? What do you count more worthy than Jesus Christ? What do you count better than the blessings of the gospel? Than an eternity in heaven? Than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and being indwelt by the Holy Ghost and experiencing forgiveness and having the gift of eternal life. What is more valuable to you than that? We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to pray. But I want you to think about what that in your head. In the privacy of your own heart. What are you willing to sell your soul for? What are you willing to go to a lost eternity for? And then make a true evaluation of it. Let's seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mediator. We thank you, Lord, for the one who entered into the horrors of Calvary for us. We thank you for that perfect life that he lived. That he is indeed the end of the law for righteousness. That he satisfied everything that we could not and did not. And we thank you, Lord, that he not only paid the capital, but he paid the penalty in his death. Thank you, Lord, for the way of salvation. I pray that that way will be traversed this evening. That you will give deciding grace. Because it is all of thee. Salvation is of the Lord. And therefore, Lord, we come and we pray that you will work mightily and powerfully to the glory of your Son. Part us now with your blessing in Jesus' precious name.